our funny video and icebreaker for the day. Instead of a Cheryl, I guess I need a Maria or something so it could help me with, because he does the same thing to me when I ask, hey, can you find this? And it's like, and he always tell me something else. So yeah, it doesn't work well with accents. All right, team. So let's go to the next slide. The first thing that I'd like to talk about today is our DEOC survey. So either tomorrow or Monday, you will receive an email with our DEOC survey. Does everybody know what a DEOC survey is? Who does not know? All right. So for the benefit of everybody, just going to throw it out there. Our DEOC survey is the tool, the mechanism that the Army utilized to get a sense for how the environment and units are working. So even though the DEOC surveys are volunteer, I am asking, please, and encouraging everybody to participate on the DEOC survey. This is one of the methodologies that I have and the command team have to see what is happening around the workforce. I know that a lot of time people do not feel comfortable coming forward and bringing up concerns, and the DEOC survey is one method that you can use to do that. We have an open door policy, so I encourage people to come and talk to me, to send me an email, talk to Mr. Candles, our major, talk to HAC. But we have different methodologies that we can utilize for those of you who might not feel comfortable coming forward when you have a concern, whether the concern is, you know, at your directorate level, or maybe the concern is with me, or maybe with the sergeant major or Mr. Kentman. We have multiple mechanisms that we can use to address that concern at the right level. And we want to make sure that everybody has the knowledge and the tools to do that. Because if there's an issue out there, we want to make sure that we address that. So either tomorrow or Monday, you will receive the entire workforce, military and civilians, will be receiving an email with the DEOC survey. All right, enough with that. Next slide. The next slide that we have here is our no-fail missions. When I assumed command in July and I talked about my leadership philosophy, one of the things that I care the most, and I told you that up front, is the workforce. The workforce, whether civilian or military, I care about people. And because I care about people, there are certain behaviors that we cannot allow. We cannot allow it by regulation, and we cannot allow it because we need to treat people with dignity and respect. As you look at the no-fail missions that we have here, the very first one that we have on the board is sexual harassment and sexual assault. I will not allow that in this garrison. And if we get any complaint of sexual harassment or sexual assault, we will attend those complaints rapidly. We are as good as the environment that we work on, and we need to make sure that we keep everybody around us safe. So my commitment to you from the day that I assumed command has not changed. And these are some of the no-fail missions. And the only way that I can protect you, and you can protect a lot of the other employees within your sections, is if you follow those rules and you are vigilant of those types of behavior. I cannot do this on my own, so I am relying on you to be my eyes and ears and report anything if you see it. The second one that we have here is identifying any individuals that might have suicidal ideation or any type of behavior health issues. Something that I like to bring to your attention is that we need to stop marginalizing people that have behavioral health issues. I come from the Intel community where your security clearance is one of the most important tools that you have because you need that to do your job. And a lot of people think that if they have a behavioral health issue, they will lose their clearance. Or that because they have a behavioral health issue, they're wrong. Well, that is not the case. People could have problems and people need help. And we have to be vigilant for those who are vulnerable at some point of their life. And we have to give them the tools and the resources so they can get help. Here at the installation, we have multiple services to help people that have any type of behavioral issues. And we can look at those, you know, from the spiritual fitness dimension. You know, they can talk to the chaplain, they can talk to the MFLAG. We have multiple resources that we can utilize inside the installation or outside the installation. But once again, I cannot do that all on my own. And the moment that I receive the CCIR or the blotter, we might be a little too late. So I need you that as supervisors, as coworkers, as friends, as families, to be vigilant of your coworkers, especially as we get closer to the holiday season. We tend to have some people to get isolated and we want to avoid any issues. And if you know of someone who had a behavioral health issue or any medical conditions, you are not to be mentioning that anywhere. You talk to that individual about that if you're trying to help that. We gotta be very, very careful. The next one is ensuring equal opportunity. Here at the Garrison, I am taking a different approach as far as how do we look at observances and heritage observances and things like that. Because I want to make things to have value. I want to make things to be fun. I want to make things so people want to participate. Last month, at the end of September, we did a launch for Hispanic Heritage Month. And it was very last minute because our EO person is still in school, so we have to work with a 1A1. And it was a last minute event. But even though it was a last minute event, we have a really good participation. And I want to make sure that every event that we have here in the Garrison is well attended like that one was, and that people get value out of this event. It's important because it brings the message, it educates people, but it also gives you the opportunity to collaborate with your employees, with other sections that you don't get to talk to on a regular basis outside of the office setting. We had a formal portion on that activity, and then we had a potluck, and everybody, you know, we play Loteria, which is like a bingo type deal, and it was very fun. It was very, you know, I really liked the activity. And my intent is to provide employees or tenant units within the Garrison the opportunity to come forward, you know, if we're celebrating whatever activity we have there, and we have a employee that is passionate about that topic, and they want to take on the initiative to celebrate that heritage celebration, that observance, We will get the Garrison team behind that person to support it. But usually when you get somebody that is very passionate about a topic, they do a really good job putting those activities together. And that is what I want to do. I want to do things a little different so people learn and people enjoy. All right, the next one is protecting our soldiers, civilians, families, and of course, our most vulnerable population, our children. We have many things that happen around the garrison and sometimes, you know, outside in the families. And a lot of times, the people who suffer the most are our children. So we need to make sure that we take care of them. And my commitment to you is, because I care about people, is that I will take care of you as the workforce. And how do I take care of you? By enforcing standards. That is the best way that I can take care of you. So that is the commitment that I'm making here today, once again. All right, next slide. All right, so here we have the slide for our operational approach. Of course, this is the one for this fiscal year because we closed out the one that we had, of course, in September, we close out the one from 2023-2024. So here, when we look at our operational approach, we look at where we are as a garrison today. And when we look, and we look at what are our goals and where we plan to be at the end of the fiscal year. And when we look at this little matrix in the middle of the slide, that is a matrix that will show us how do we get there. And some of the things that we utilize to analyze this is we utilize the IPOs that we sign at the beginning of the fiscal year, which the senior commander agreed to those IPOs. And those IPOs are long-term items, or, you know, most of them we're going to be able to do it this year. But a lot of those things, a lot of the IPOs that we sign there are items that are going to improve for McCoy not only this year, but in years to come. And the way that we did this is we took our higher headquarters missions and priorities, and we nested the priorities from USARC and income. We look at our directorates, and we pin the roles on one of our directorates, or maybe two of them, to accomplish those IPOs. As you look at the lines in the middle, those are decisive points, and those are matrices, so those are things that they have to do throughout the year in order to get to our goal. And like I said, when we look at our operational approach, this is something that we are doing it right now, that we are going to finish it by the end of the fiscal year. But a lot of the things that we are doing here will have repercussions into the future of Fort McCoy. I'm not going to dwell too long into our operational approach. If you have any questions about the operational approach, when we go to the Q&A questions, feel free to ask me the questions. We have the slides available for everybody. And if we have to do a separate session where we start from the very beginning, from the basic, how do we do this operational approach and how we got here, we can do that as well, but I just want to make sure that we use the town hall and we cover everything that we have pending. All right, next slide. As I talk about the IPOs, and like I mentioned on the previous slide, all of the things that we are doing this year are not things that I'm doing for Colonel Baez, are things that we are doing for the workforce, are things that we're doing for Fort McCoy, looking into the future. These are long-term projects and items that would improve the quality of life, that will improve how do we train our supervisors and our workforce. So these are things that are gonna have long-term impact for Fort McCoy. All right, next slide. All right, so we are gonna move to awards presentation. And right after we do the award presentation, we're gonna do, you know, the portions for Sergeant Major and Lieutenant Colonel Corcoran. So here at the garrison, when we look at our population, 90% of our employees are civilian employees. Many years ago, the Army decided to change the structure from military personnel to civilian personnel, especially in the garrisons, because of the continuity. And I have to say it, the Fort McCoy team is an awesome team. And as you look around, we have civilians that have been here for a long time because they love their job and they do it very, very well. Thank you for your service. All right, something that we did on the first town hall, and we're not gonna repeat the ceremony, but we are gonna read the citation, is from 2020 to 2021, the Fort McCoy Garrison received the Army Superior Unit Award. And we completed the ceremony putting the streamer on the garrison colors. 2020, 2021, you know, the COVID era was a very difficult era. Many of us lost family members. As an organization, the Army changed in their practice, in their policies. As we have people around the world that were PCSing, we have people that were doing exercises and different types of mission. Many installations across the globe shut down and closed and stopped doing what they were doing. Guess what? Fort McCoy continued to work. We have some diminished capacities in some sections, but Fort McCoy did not shut down. Fort McCoy did not close the gate, did not close the door. Why? Because we have people that are committed. Because we had the space to take the measures that we could take to do the separation between people. Because we look at, if we have to continue to do this mission, and everybody goes home and turn off the live and close their, you know, cell phones and everything else, what is going to happen? When we look around here, we look at people that are committed. And sometimes when you look at that, you say, my family staying at home, I have to go out there because I know I have a mission. And here you have true professionals that did just that. This award is for everyone, every one of you. So a big round of applause. I'm gonna let Major Downs read the citation so everybody can hear it. But like I said, we will have the citation and the certificate posted at the headquarters. And also we recorded the first portion of the ceremony that we did. And it will be available on Divis and our social media platform so everybody can see it later.
Army Superior Unit Award. By order of the Secretary of the Army, United States Army Garrison, Fort McCoy demonstrated superior performance and devotion to duty from 1 February 2020 to 31 December 2021. United States Army Garrison, Fort McCoy, conducted an exceptionally difficult and challenging mission under extraordinary circumstances that resulted in safe communities and preservation of lives across the Coulee region, including Sparta, Toma, Black River Falls, and Fort McCoy, consisting of 37 tenant units and 1,500 soldiers and DA civilians. The collective effort and selflessness of each individual and unit to serving soldiers, civilians, families, and retirees will have a lasting impact for years to come. The dedication and outstanding performance of United States Army Garrison Fort McCoy is in keeping with the finest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon themselves and the United States Army.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Some of you might know this, but most of you probably don't, but in March of 2020, I PCS'd into USARC headquarters as the Surgeon Sergeant Major for the United States Army Reserves. And during that time, the globe was shutting down, not just the United States, but everyone was shutting down. And our headquarters kept going, and General Daniels did a weekly brief, and I sat in there with the surgeon and all the other directorates, and a lot of discussion was whether Fort McCoy, Hunter Liggett, Dix, Buchanan were all going to shut down like everyone else is shutting down. If you went to D.C., they all went home. They were all teleworking. Even the Pentagon shut the doors. They went home and they teleworked. And the decision was, no, we're going to continue training. And Fort McCoy was one of the first test sites to try to bring collective training into a COVID environment. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you were here during that event. And we had some successes, but we also had some major failures, a lot of COVID cases, isolation, putting them in Liberty and whatever fob you guys put them in big tents. You guys probably can remember that happened, but the attitude at the headquarters, at the three-star, four-star level, was that Fort McCoy was the most professional organization capable of doing collective training, on par with an NTC, JRTC, large army organization. So you guys did fantastic. And it was recognized all the way at the 3 and 4 star. I mean, this is a cool thing. The banner's really cool. But the truth is, it's the hard work that you did and what you guys remember during that time is what's really important. So I got really two messages for you. And then I'll get off the stage and pass it off over to your DGC, Mr. Cantlin. First one, I want to remind you all to just work on trying to be resilient. We just did a 20, 25, 30. In the earlier, we had a 40-year award that we gave for recognition. And it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're a one-year employee or you're a 40-year employee. Life happens. And resiliency is an essential tool. In the Army, it's a requirement for us to train ourselves to be resilient. APFT, physical fitness, is one of those tools. We call it HUF, holistic health and fitness, which we've transitioned into, I think it's health and fitness for the civilians, but it looks really similar with the same pillars. Our food, our diet, the way that we train, the way that we go to leadership development courses, it's all to develop us into individuals that can handle very difficult times. It's really easy when the path is clear, it's well-groomed, it's super clean, there's no potholes, and I'll share you guys a skiing analogy. If you throw in double black diamond and moguls in front of you, that's a pretty difficult task to come down that hill. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter how great you are, how wonderful things are going, things are gonna happen in your life. And you're gonna have to be resilient in order to overcome them. You know, I'll share a personal story. 6 weeks ago, I started becoming a general manager for the construction of my home after I invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into it. It's super stressful. You know, I actually fit in the 30-year category for the, we don't get those civilian awards, so it's pretty cool you guys get them. But I fit in that category, and you think that everything's easy, and it's super organized and structured, and you got everything figured out. But I'll tell you, it changes in a heartbeat. My wife and I have been pretty stressed out trying to get through this model. And I'm sure somebody here is dealing with those type of things. But it's really important to be resilient. And that's gonna lead into my second piece of what we're trying to do as an organization to help those things. I kind of screwed up on the first time I was speaking, but there's a phrase that it takes a village to raise a child. I really believe in it. It takes a community to raise each and one of us, and I think I'm, I'm really proud of this community of Fort McCoy. And we're trying to get after it through, we started that Triad Cup. We started the Triad Nights, then the Triad Cup. We did individual competitive leagues, which we're trying to do all that. And that's really getting after us bringing Fort McCoy together in a setting that's outside of work. So we're going to adjust it a little bit. We're not going to do away with it. We're going to continue to go. I think it's a great model. It wasn't perfect. And we're going to adjust it where we're just going to do a Triad Right Arm Night, which means it's all social. There's no leadership development. There's no requirement to show up and be there for an hour. We're going to do it where you can just come out. It's a social event. We encourage all of you to show up. We're going to have it at McCoy's, and it's really for us just to hang out, talk, just have some time together as an organization, and no work related to it. And then instead of doing the Triad Cup, which was a great effort, I think Herculean effort by MWR, we're going to go with the individual leagues like we did with the bowling league. If some of you in here, I think, probably participated in the bowling league. When it started, it was super successful. We had a great turnout, and we discovered that the league was pretty long, and then we had some mechanical problems with the equipment. Well, we saw the mechanical problems, and we're going to shorten the leagues, but we really encourage all of you to come out and participate in it. And some of you already saw, we're going to do pickleball, which seems to be a pretty cool thing around here, I guess, everyone likes pickleball. We're going to try to do volleyball, those type of team events, and then have individual leagues that are pretty short so you guys can participate in them. So that's kind of what we're trying to get after to help you guys work on your resiliency. So those are my two main points: maintain resiliency, and please come out and join us when we're doing those social community type of activities. And the last thing before I get off the stage is, I truly want to thank you. I know I say every single time I get up here, many of you might not know, but I am retiring here. So this is where I'm staying. I'm building a home here in Black River Falls. My wife teaches at Cooley Christian. So a New Yorker that came from Fort Bragg decided to call Fort McCoy home. So I think it's because of all of you welcoming me, helping me through my challenges and my successes. But I truly feel like this is a cool community that I can bring my older kids here and introduce them to you guys. So thank you very much for what you guys do from the bottom of my heart. I just feel very special that we're all in this little community together. So thank you very much.
I'm going to talk about this in a second here, but Wisconsin's so cool this summer. He's become a Wisconsinite. He's actually a Buffalo. He's in New York. He's not the same Buffalo. He's a Buffalo Bills fan.
I'm
he's
sorry.
A Purdue Packers.
So, got the wrong with the Bills.
Yeah. But so that's really cool he's staying here joining us. Touch on a couple of things we talked about. The Right Arm Night, it's also be quarterly. Instead of doing monthly events, once a quarter. If I'm allowed, I'll start the tap with some money for it. For beverages, if you want to have one before going home. But quarterly, social, just get out and see each other. It's in McCoy's, it's on the way home. We'll try and work the schedule so it fits people's schedules. If you come, great. If you can't come, that's all right. You got something going on, I get it. But instead of doing something monthly, and the chemical leagues. Somebody wanted to have curling, he mentioned it last time.
Yes.
I think curling league would be really hard. Somebody also thinks that we're going to win because I've curled before. I told him that you guys have to do a box duel. Yes, I know what a skip is, but I'm not good enough to be one. So we're going to try and use, I'm going to try and find a box duel somewhere. Maybe we can have a Fort McCoy team or two and go. So if you know what curling is, if you ever curled, we're going to come ask you to look at you. Be a team. But other sports, instead of 12-week bowling, it's 6-week. If you want to sign up your director for a team, that's fine. Like for us, the command team, we're going to have HHC and command team. That way, it's not only four people that have to go all 6 weeks. It's just four people from your director or your GFCO or your ILO. Just a four person from the organization. I think it'll make it easier to be able to field a team. And you won't feel compelled that you have to go. So anyway, we'll see. Just hope that HEC command team can finish better than last at bowling like last year.
No promises, though.
No more double-digit games. Quick on the Hatch Act. I get this information from our headquarters and from MCOM fairly routinely to share with the workforce. my paid political announcement is that this is a political year. I didn't know there's something pretty important going on in a couple weeks. I drive 41 miles to and from work. I go past numerous signs on both sides of the aisle. So I guess there's an election coming up. Things you can and can't do. Most things you can do that you think you should be able to do, you can. You can do a lot of things as a civilian worker or military, in that fact, under the Hatch Act. There are a lot of things you can do. So if there's something you want to do, just ask your supervisor. And if you're a supervisor and you don't know, get up to the directors, all right? The information's there, we'll answer your question. But for the most part, you can do a lot more things you probably think you can. You can participate in activities. It just can't be during work. And you can't do things when you're on the clock here at Fort McCoy, or at your job site. But if you want to do things, you certainly can. Can you vote? Absolutely. The governor will even, again, work with the supervisor. If you can't vote because of your work hours, we can give you time off to vote. All right, so it's important. If you want to vote, you certainly can. If you want to be active in political activities, for the most part, you can. There's just certain things you can't do. The primary one is you can't do it while on the clock. So if I come to work and I go to the headquarters, I can't get the phone, even my personal phone, and start doing phone calls on behalf of political party A or B. Right? I can't do that. I know I can't. I won't. We all do the same thing. But again, if you got questions, just ask. It's not super complicated, just ask a question. My role, as I've said before, and I'll say it every time I get a chance to talk in public, my role is the senior civilian workforce member is to represent the workforce in the Garrison Magazine. I have an office in the same hallway as our senior military, and I represent the workforce, all the workforce, civilian and military. So if you got an issue, you got a question, you got something to bring up, please, just bring it up. I've got an open door policy. Walk in my door anytime you want. You can leave me a note. You can send me an email. I've got an open email policy. So leave me a note, email, whatever it is. And I'll at least respond. And I can't perhaps solve the problem. But at least I can take a look at it. And hit me up. I've been hit up before, so keep it coming. Okay, we're going to go to a question and answer period. Before we hit a couple of ones that came up in the last session, so we're not going to try and reinvent those. First one was hunting / weapons. Coming on post, we reiterated the registration policy to bring a hunting weapon on the installation. You have to register it. I don't think that surprised anybody. Probably not. The one that was brought up that we will follow up on is, if you're going to go deer hunting during gun season, can you come to work at 7 o'clock in the morning with a properly stored weapon, with a properly stored ammo in your vehicle, and then go hunt that afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon after work is over? And I'm getting a thumbs up. So maybe that question's already been answered. So it sounds like it is, but I said I'd follow up. My statement saying is it is authorized? All right, so it is authorized. So if I'm during gun hunting season, I could drive on post with my truck, with my rifle, my ammo stored properly, and properly logged in iSportsman, and have a license that I can hunt legally. True? And I won't get like pulled off. All right, good. So we'll push that out again though on email so people know. It was a great question. We didn't know the exact answer up front, but that was what I expected. Another question was asked was civilians retiring. And help for civilians who are retiring. As you probably know, in the military when you retire, you get all kinds of help. I retired in the fall of 2019, right before COVID, so I missed the whole COVID thing, so I'm here to talk about that, so it's a girl. I missed it. I retired in December 1st, 2019, and I was a civilian during COVID, so totally missed what you all went through, if you were in active duty or if you were a DA civilian. But I watched it from the sidelines. Actually, I was working in the civilian sector, I saw that perspective of COVID. But COVID was set aside, the retiree piece. The question asked was, where is the help for a DA civilian who's retiring? And how does that work? Short story, when I got here, I worked at headquarters, a lot of you knew Deb, she was retiring, and I watched her go through the process of retiring. And frankly, I was kind of surprised at the lack of guidance and help she was getting. I had just retired at that time, only less than 5 years earlier from the military. I got all kinds of help. I had mandatory training, I had mandatory fun, mandatory seminars. I had like 5 days of retiree, you know, just what you're gonna do. And if I didn't show up, they wouldn't give me my orders. So I had all kinds of help. And it was, for the most part, good help. So I couldn't screw it up when I retired. Then I see here in the DA civilians, it's almost the direct opposite. The way forward, we are establishing a civilian personnel office as a garrison manager control office. It's part of our garrison headquarters here at Fort McCoy. We did a test bed for the last 4 months. Some of you know Jamie Goulart, she led it. After completion of 4 months of trial, we briefed the commander. Commander approved to go forward with establishing the office. So we are hiring the director for that office. We'll have the hiring action done 2 weeks.
Well, that's very aggressive, sir, but it is going through, well, so you better explain, before we can hire the director, we have to classify the subordinates, yes. And then it goes through classification and hiring action, so.
So like you said, 2 weeks we can have the person hired. Because that's how fast our system works. No pressure.
Again, we can hope, but that's a little aggressive.
And the Army would say hope's not enough. So sometime soon we can have the hiring action done. We can have our director for civilian personnel office hired. And then as soon as the director's hired, we'll hire the workers, the three employees that will work in the office, in that office with the director for civilian personnel office. One of the things that the CIVPO is going to do is assist DA civilians with retirement. Right, among others, there's lots of other things we're going to do. That's one of the key tasks for the civilian personnel office. I'm here to tell you, the rest of the garrisons, they don't. I've asked all the other deputies and garrison commanders across the installations here in CONUS, and I couldn't find a good example of a CIVPO because they don't exist. They all said, but almost every person I talked to said, "Hey, if you figure this out, let us know because this is a huge problem for us too." So we're going to give it a shot. I'm done admiring the problem. It's a problem, so we're going to give a shot at fixing it. And more to follow in the next 2 weeks. More 3 to 6 months as we get it up and running, so that's coming. But that was a question that was asked at the last gathering. I guess the same thing, a civilian ID retiree card. The parent we used to have one. We're looking, trying to get an answer back to the other one, too. So, ma'am.
All right, so the last thing that I'm going to say about the CIVPO office is, as the civilian workforce, we owe you a process and we owe you that assistance. So we are committed to do that, and you know, part of our goals in the establishment of this office is that we can provide the civilian workforce the due diligence so when they are retiring, they have an established process and everything that they need so they, when they retire, they can go at ease and they know that they have everything they need in one place in with established process without trying to scramble, asking people and searching processes in the internet. So we owe you that, and we are committed to get that taken care of for you. All right, so we are going to move into the question, the Q&A session. Right before we move into the Q&A session, I want to mention two items about my 90-day assessment. I will share this with you in writing later on, but I'm just going to mention two things about my 90-day assessment. The very first thing that I want to mention is a positive one. I came here to Fort McCoy, and right away I noticed that we have highly functioning directors across the board. We have people that are driven, people that are committed, and that is a great thing. When you look around Fort McCoy, when you look at our mission, when you look at our processes, we are one of the best garrison across the board. And a lot of the processes that you do in your offices, other organization and installation have acquired those processes as best practices. And those processes started here at Fort McCoy. So I have big admiration for the commitment and the functioning of the high functioning that we have for our directors and our workforce. On the other hand, improvement, and this is the way I see it. Because we are so good on everything we do not enjoy it. If we have a directory that is functioning at 95%, we are very focused on that 5%. How do we beat that 5% so we can get to 100? And we do not enjoy everything that we have done for years to get to that 95% and be that example that so many other organizations are following up there. So I'm gonna encourage you to take a pause and look behind you and look at all the work that you have put in into processes, all the work that you have put in into projects, and look around this installation, look around your, you know, your coworkers, and give yourself a minute to enjoy the things that you have accomplished, because they are wonderful. And I want you to get after that 5%, sure, I do. But I want you to enjoy everything that you have accomplished so far. And sometimes we are so focused on the thing that, you know, that we need to get after, that we don't get to enjoy, you know, everything we have done. So sometimes we have to take a knee or we have to take a step back and say, wow, I did all of that. And give yourself credit for it. When you are very highly functional, you know, when you do an outstanding job, you know, we always want to do more. And I'm all about, you know, let's get after it. But when the focus is so high that you do not enjoy your wins, small wins are important. Small wins are very important. And like I said, when we look here across the board, we have so many good actions. And I want to make sure that as professionals, as individuals, you get to enjoy those small actions. All right. Let's move on to the Q&A questions. First question.
Ma'am, I got one alibi. There's one other question that's brought up. I forgot to bring it, bring it back up. Highway 21. Who knows how Highway 21 is closing next spring, summer?
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to impact our traffic getting to it from work? Yeah. Question was, what's our plan to mitigate that? I don't have a firm answer for that question. It's a good question. It's a question we've asked the heck. We've talked about this numerous times. What we do know is this. It's closing. The state Department of Transportation will issue a plan to reroute traffic, detour traffic, for the state closure of State Highway 21. Yeah. How much influence we have on what the state determines, I don't know. I'm looking back at Jim because I'm expecting him to have the influence. But he's laughing. So we may have some influence, I don't know, maybe not. Regardless of it, the state will issue their detour guidance for State Highway 21. What we can control is the installation plan for gate access, gate control, which gates are open, which gates have access for a military and civilian entrance and exit. And those are things that we're looking at controlling. I can't tell the exact plan because I don't know the exact dates. It'll probably change as the construction takes place. What I can ask you to do is stay informed. We'll provide a mechanism to know what's going on. If you have input, talk to supervisors, provide it up. We're looking at all the options from e-gates to opening other gates. It's all on the table. We have training challenges. We've got military units that next summer will probably need to go up north and south across 21. We have worked that out with the state. So there's a number of challenges that go into this. Yes, we are planning for it. Yes, we know it's coming. I can't give you a firm plan as of right now because I don't know the exact particulars of what we're going to face. But we're looking at it.
Roger. So that was a really good question. So we are definitely working with DPW and the county and DOT to get, as soon as they have their firm plan, we will establish a plan for McCoy, and we will open the gates that might be necessary, you know, to make sure that we can get the traffic flowing
and we provide the workforce, the avenues, and you know, and the tools for, you know, to get from and to work. All right. Questions? Any questions?
Got it.
You mentioned the sportsman range last time. Could we get an update on that one, sir?
Yeah, sportsman's range. Who here is fired at the sportsman's range? A few? All right. I understand the sportsman's range has been an issue for a number of years. I was told that by Colonel Messenger when he was leaving command. He's like, hey, Mr. Gale, this has been going on for years, well beyond my tenure. And we've gone 180 on this topic. As a garrison, we were gonna close it a few years ago. And then we came to the conclusion that was a terrible idea. We need to keep it open and increase participation and host trap leagues, that kind of stuff. And now we're kind of back to, a lot of ways back to, hey, let's close it. What I'm gonna do is this, I'm gonna have a field trip with directors, selected directors, and we're gonna go up to Sportsman's Range, and we're gonna discuss on site, what is the way forward. If you have input, send it to me, send it to supervisors, send it to your directors, start bringing out DPMS, DPW, and FMWR. So if you got the input, please send it up.
So my suggestion would be to go around to the other area clubs in the area. There's probably 8 to 12 of them just in the Tri-County area that you could actually go and sit down and talk to their directors and their board and how they run theirs and what works for them and what doesn't work for them.
Yeah. And we've done some of that in the past. Mr. Scott Abel's back. He's the director of FMWR now, and he was here back when the sportsman's range was put in place. So he's got some historical knowledge of it. To my understanding, we've done some of that in the past. There are trap clubs in both Sparta and Toma, as well as numerous ones in other areas.
Sure.
Yes, I was there for this trap. You know, we had the annual Legion trap shoot, and we had shooters from Sparta and Toma in Ettrick shooting that evening. And I was a scorekeeper. A few of us employees in the workforce were there working. So yeah, I know it's popular. And I also believe we potentially could make it successful. We have some added challenges being that it's on the installation. All right. Weapons registration is number one. So there's more than just that. So bottom line is this, there's a number of challenges. There's been a lot of talk about this. We've admired this problem for years. Instead of admiring it, I'm gonna bring the right people together and we're gonna discuss it on site and we're gonna propose some courses of action to the command team for a decision. If you have input, please provide it. If you don't know where to go with your input, email it to me. Only one can't run on the global. Thank you.
All right. Questions? All right. This is the time, you know, if you have any concerns, and I know that we have some people that might not feel comfortable, you know, bringing any questions in front of the group. We have some cards on both sides over here. You can write your questions or your concern in the card and put it in the box. We will address the questions. I have an open door policy. You can email me. If you have a question, you can email Mr. Kenton, the HAC commander, Lieutenant Colonel Corcom. You know, the reason why we do these town halls is because we want to make sure that we get a feel for what is happening around the garrison and what might be some of the issues that might be out there on the workforce or things that we need to address. And, you know, the town hall is a way of doing those. But we also have other avenues, like I said. We have the DOT survey coming up. We have ICE, that you can use ICE if you want to use ICE. We can use the cards, you can use email, you know, whatever method you think is the best one for you. We want to encourage people that if you have a concern, to please let us know, because we won't be able to solve problems if we don't know that there's a problem out there. Any questions? Really, nothing else? All right, so I'm not gonna keep you guys here any longer. Like I said, we have an open door policy, and any issues and anything else, you know, you guys can come back to us and let us know what is happening. Thank you for coming out here today. Thank you for taking the time. Two things that I mentioned on the previous town hall is that I truly believe in recognizing talent. So we are gonna start doing quarterly awards to recognize the workforce, because I don't think that we should wait until civilians, for the most part, don't PCS. Maybe the directors do, but civilians, for the most part, they do not PCS. And sometimes we have people who have been sitting in positions for 20 years and they have never been recognized for their accomplishments. And we gotta change that. We have wonderful people here that have done great projects, and we're gonna start doing quarterly awards to recognize our workforce. Team, thank you for everything you do. You know, moving forward, we're gonna make some small tweaks. I know that I said, you know, my first town hall, 90 days, I'm gonna, you know, come here, do my assessment, and then do changes from there. Well, I have been in the position for 90 days, and I have seen the things that work, and maybe the ones that I might want to tweak a little bit. I don't expect to do any drastic change across any directors or across any procedures, but we always can do small tweaks here and there that will help, you know, to move things along. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your participation, and continue to do the great job that you have done up to this point here at Formacol. I am very, very proud of you. And as we get closer, you know, to the holidays, watch out for, you know, one to each other. You know, you have co-workers, you have teammates, and we need to make sure that we take care of our people. Thank you so much.